Praise God. Let's go into the world this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Now, we're looking at the series, The Name of Jesus. We focused on it throughout the month of March. However, it's been spilled over to the month of April. So this month of April, we might not necessarily do The Name of Jesus all through the month of April, but we just want to touch a few more things before we call it a wrap to the first season of the teaching, The Name of Jesus. Now, we've been trying to examine what the name of Jesus is about, and we saw that, or we said that, looking through scriptures, you will find out that in the summative writings of the disciples of Jesus, what you would call the four gospels, there was something similar in all their writings. There was something similar in all their writings. You will see Matthew will say, and he came and said unto them in verse 18, chapter 28, upright is given unto me in heaven and in earth, rather. He now says, go ye therefore into the world and what? And baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, right? So we're talking about how Matthew speaks about the name. We're talking about how Matthew uses the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. And we said, the name of the Father is the name of the Son, that is the name of the Holy Ghost, which is the name of the Son. Are we together? John 30 will tell you that, John 20 rather, verse 30, 31, it will tell you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, right? And in his name, you receive life, or by his name, you receive life. Luke will tell you also the same, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Mark 16 will now tell you what, in his name you shall cast out them. So, there's a consistent use of the word name in all their summative writings. Now, that summary writing was gotten from the 40 days teaching that Jesus had in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Are we together? So, they summarized his teaching with an instruction to go in his name. Now, we started paying attention to the writings of the prophets and writings of Moses to see what the name is really about. We started from Genesis, and we've come a long way all around the books of the prophets. But I want to look at something vital again this morning. Look at Psalm 95 quickly. Look at Psalm 95. You know, the truth is that the name of Jesus is something that we will teach from the writings of Moses and the prophets. Look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 8. We started talking about how the names in the Old Testament writings, which are the Old Testament books, they have implications. And then, you know, I'm using Old Testament for lack of better words, right? Are we together? You know, we said that we don't recognize Genesis to Malachi as the what? Old Testament. Because the truth is that the Old Testament is about what? People. Have we taught that? About people and their hearts. And the New Testament is about what? People and their hearts. Are we together? Right? So Jesus will not say, you know, go to the Old Testament books and let's read Isaiah. No. Jesus will go to the Word of God and read prophet Isaiah. Are we together? Are we here? Right? So, Psalm 95 says something very important. It says, look at verse 8. Psalm 95 verse 8, it says what? Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation, in the where? Wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Now, this is taking an account from the writings of Moses. Are we together? The fathers will be found in the writings of what? Moses. So he says, 40 years long was I agreed with this generation, and said, is the people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not what? Enter into my rest. So Hebrews now takes cue and takes cue from that right. Look at Hebrews 3. Look at Hebrews 3. At Hebrews 3. Are you there? Look at verse 8. Hebrews 3, 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the what? wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for how many years? 40 years. Now, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts. So where is error found? Or where do they err? Beautiful. And they have not known my ways. 11 now says, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not what? Enter into my rest. Verse 12 now says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. For some, when they heard, they provoke, or they did provoke. Howbeit, not all of them came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that what? So what does it mean to enter into the rest? Not to harden your heart, that is to believe. What is it not to enter into his rest? To harden your heart and not believe. So when the Bible tells you God swore that they will not enter into his rest, is it God doing something, or people are responding to what God supplies and it determines where they find themselves? People are responding. Are we together? You know, we start looking at Genesis 1 when it says, and God called the day light, and God called the light day, and called darkness night. And we said those are people, right? So light will be people who do not harden their hearts. Are we here? And darkness will be people who, and we will call them night as a function. Remember that. So you see, verse 18 now says that, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Now says verse 19. Let's read 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Did he say because God swore? Did he say because God stopped them? So why couldn't they enter his rest? Because of their unbelief. Look at chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of what? Entering into his rest, any of you should seem to contrary of it. So when the Bible tells you in Genesis chapter 2, and God rested on the seventh day. No, that is a message. It is not that God finished creating the universe and now wore bedroom slippers. I was now strolling the garden. Wow, so I can do flowers like this. No. Right? The Bible is a book to teach you about the revelation of Jesus. Right? Jesus was saying in John 5, he says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? So when the Bible tells you that God rested on the seventh day, it is a Moses' conversation to show you that God supplies rest without works. So what was Moses using 7 days to teach? That mankind is to come into the day seven. What is day seven about? The day of his rest. So how do you come into the day of his rest? By not hardening your heart. That is, by not staying in unbelief. So once you believe the message of the gospel, you've come into God's rest. You've come into God's seventh day. Hallelujah. You've come into, look at it. So he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So how do you come short of coming into his rest? By unbelief. Look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel what? As well as, you see that? So they did not enter into God's rest because of their unbelief in the gospel that was preached. Did you see that? So as well as unto them, but the word preached did not what? Profit them. Why? Because they did not mix the words they heard with faith. Is that your Bible? Look at verse 3. For we which have believed. Did I explain that just now? Verse 3, look at it again. For we which have believed do what? Can we say enter into his rest? Can we say enter into his seventh day? Beautiful. He now says, although, as I have sworn in my wrath, that if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from where? From the what? What works is that? Or what work? Would that be the work that supplies rest? Would that be the work that supplies rest? When did he say it was finished? So when you see foundation of the world, where should you go to? The beginning. Genesis. I just explained that, right? Genesis 2, God rested on the seventh day. It is that God is going to do a work and supply rest to man. How does man come into God's rest? By believing. How does man stay away from God's rest? By not believing. Are you here? Now, see verse 4. He now says, for he spake in a certain place of the... Wait. I hope you know I'm explaining where we are going to as we are reading. Are we here? I hope you know what I'm explaining it before we read it. Right? So, I just explained 7 days as what? 7 days, according to Moses, is Moses teaching about God's supply of rest. Right? So, that's what we're reading. Look at verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the 7 day on this wise, and God did rest the 7 day from all his works. Now look at verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached. So when Moses will preach 7 day, he's preaching what? God's supply of rest. Let's say that together. When Moses was preaching about the 7 day, he was preaching about God's supply of rest. All together. So, he says, it was first preached, to whom it was first preached, enter not in because of what? Unbelief. Look at verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to who? To what? The people of God. So, for he that is entered into his rest, he also at what? Ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now let us now look at verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into rest. Is that you? Let us labor to enter into rest. Is that you? Who are you? The ones that have come into God's rest. So we are God's people. Are we together? So can you see the writer of Hebrews having a mix of, you know, both to the unbelievers and to the believers? Are we together? So look at verse 9 again. Or look at verse... look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Now, this is where I will know if you've been following my series. So when the Bible tells you that for if Jesus had given them rest, okay, so a layman speaking will almost seem like Jesus was in their time giving them rest. But Bible knowledge will make you see that the first incarnation of Jesus is through the birth of Mary, or through his birth from Mary. Are we together? You know there are two different things. The birth of Mary, that yeah. So, in the real sense, when he says if Jesus, right, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Look at it this way. If I come and give you rest, and I say this is rest, why should I speak of another day of rest? It is only because I'm not the one that will give you the rest. Are we here? It is only because I am not the one that will give you the rest. So, if I come and I speak about a rest, and I say there will be a day where the rest will be supplied, or the rest will be received, it means I am not involved in that rest. So, what do we replace that name Jesus with in Hebrews chapter 4? Yeshua. Who is Joshua? Joshua was the one that bore the name Jesus before Jesus' incarnation. We've taught that, right? So Joshua is equal to Yeshua, which is equal to Jesus. So Joshua is the first person to bear the name Jesus by prophecy. Then Jesus will be the first person to bear the name Jesus by fulfillment. Are you here? So Joshua will bear the name based on a prophetic perspective about what Jesus will do as a supply of rest. But Jesus will now come and bear Joshua. So, can we replace Jesus with Joshua in that book? So, how do we read that? Look at that again. For if... Look at verse 7. Before you enter verse 8, look at verse 7 again. He says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not my heart. Is that where we read in Psalm 95? if you hear my voice, harden not my heart. So who are the people he is dealing with? The children of Israel. Are we together? So when he talks about David in verse 7, verse 8, we have to talk about somebody also who dealt with the children of Israel. So how do we replace, or how do we read verse 8? For if Yeshua, is that the word Joshua? So for if Joshua had given them rest, are we together? Now remember, Joshua brought them into Canaan. Please don't lose today's teaching, okay? Joshua brought them into where? And Canaan was supposed to be the place of rest. Are we together? But yet Joshua spoke of another day. So it means they came into Canaan, but they didn't come into God's rest. So it means that God's rest is not found in Canaan. That is physical. But God's rest is going to be found in the spiritual Canaan, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. Are you here? So Joshua, so if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Is that a better way to read that? If Joshua had given them rest, there's no need for Joshua to talk about another day. So it means that Jesus is the real Joshua that brings mankind into rest. Are we here? Joshua brings the children of Israel where? Into Canaan. Moses takes them out. So Moses is the deliverer. Joshua is the enterer. Let me say it better. Moses is the one that brings them out, but doesn't bring them in. Who takes them in? So who is the real Moses and Joshua? It has to be Jesus. So Jesus is the deliverer that brings us out of bondage and takes us into God's rest. Okay, let's say it this way. Jesus is the God that brings us out from Egypt and takes us to Canaan. Are we here? Jesus is the God that brings us out of Egypt and takes us into the promised land. Is the promised land God's rest? Right? But was the physical place they were in, was that about God's rest? It is a what? It was a sign. The promise of God to the children of Israel was not Canaan, but what? Himself. Are we together? Are we together? So, Jesus takes us out as a deliverer, Moses prefigures, and takes us into Canaan as the shepherd, Joshua prefigures. This is a cumulative of our past teachings, right? Remember, we've explained how Jesus is the shepherd that leads us. Are we together? So, Jesus is the deliverer that brings us out of the bondage of sin and death. So, Egypt is a sign that points to sin and death. Why Canaan is a sign that points to where God supplies rest to man. So, what do we have in Canaan? A land flowing with milk and honey. Is it pig? And oil. Is it pig milk? Is it cowbell? So, what is the milk that is supplied in the promised land? God himself as the inheritance of the people of rest. Are we together? So, Jesus is the fulfillment of the name Abraham. We said Abraham speaks about father of what? Many nations. That is who truly God is in the resurrection. Moses speaks about what? Deliverer. Deliverer, right? That is who God is in the resurrection. Joshua speaks about what? Salvation has come. Rescue has come. That's what God is, or who Jesus is in the what? In the resurrection. So, what did the children of God, or what did the children of Israel reject? God's supply of rest. How did Hebrews tell you by extension Psalm 95? They hardened their hearts. I hope you know hardness of heart doesn't mean you just strong the heart. You know. You know. I know when Jesus says, oh, slow of heart to believe, he's not saying your heart is beating slowly. No, it's good we clear this thing. Right? So hardness of heart simply means if they didn't have any heart condition, nothing changed about their hearts. So, when the Bible tells you in Jeremiah 31, I will give them a new heart. Did your heart change upon believing the gospel? No. Are we together? So your physical heart did not change, but he gave you his heart. He now tells you, a new spirit will I put within them. Now, let's look a little at Paul, and we'll dwell on Paul a little. Look at Acts 9. Let's dwell on Paul. We're looking at the name of Jesus, and we're seeing how Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophetic names that the prophets of old did bear. Look at Acts 9. Let's see what happened to Paul. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out and threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters of what? To where? Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of these or any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might what? Bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This already lets you understand that both male and female were preaching the gospel after the resurrection. Are we here? We should look at a series on God's woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll look at that shortly. Yeah, so, and he, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, verse 3, Acts 9, and suddenly, there what? Shined round about him a light from where? From heaven. And he fell to the earth, and what? He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, right? That was when God changed his name, right? That was when God changed his name now. Abby? Beautiful. So go to Acts 13. Just hold your hands in Acts 9. Go to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 9. Acts 13, 9. Are you there? Turn to with me to, you are in Acts 9, oh. But look at Acts 13, 9. It's Acts 13, 9. What does it say? Then Saul, into bracket, who also is called. So did God change his name? Did God change his name? No. Who also is called Paul is the interpretation of Saul in different dialects. So Paul, now, what if God wanted to call his name, right? And we say God changed his name. Why did the Jesus in the vision not call him his new name? Go back to Acts 9. Acts 9. Acts 9. So Acts 9 says, and he fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying unto him, what did he call him? Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Are we together? So Paul now says, excuse me, sir, who art thou? Look at what he says now, verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said what? I am. So he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Now, mind you, Paul at no time, history shows that Paul did not meet or did not see Jesus face to face. Are we together? History shows that there was no time when Paul and Jesus saw face to face. So how can you persecute who you are not seeing? Are we here? How was Paul persecuting who he had not seen? You see, that's one of the greatest revelations of identification. Such that when you touch God's body, you touch him. Who was Paul persecuting? The church. What did Jesus say? He says, he didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? He says, why are you persecuting me? Are we together? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the what? The pricks. Are we together? So, and he trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? And he said, Lord, and Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Now, so what did Paul see? Can we say he saw a light? He saw a light, and what happened? He fell down. Then what did Jesus do? Jesus now introduced himself as, I am who? Can we say Jesus told Paul, I am Joshua? Are we here? Can we say Jesus told Paul, I am Yeshua? Listen carefully. Do you think that Paul knew scriptures before this event? You know, Paul was a Jewish scholar. Paul was a scholar. And that's the people like farms in him with the white and black people. Yeah, the best profession we see of Paul was what? Tent making. But let me see what I'm to say. If my cause division. In the real sense, in the real sense, what did Paul see in that encounter? Hold on. Jesus comes and says, you kick against, or rather, you persecute the church. Persecute me, rather. That is, persecute the church. He now says, who art thou? And Paul, and Jesus says, I am Jesus. I am Yeshua. I am Joshua. That's what we want to start investigating. Oh, yeah. Now, so what did Paul really find in this encounter? That's what we're trying to look for. Let me tell you the answer ahead. Paul eventually found out in that encounter, from his knowledge of the scriptures, that Jesus is who? The God he had known from scriptures. Let's take a step back. Paul was a Jewish scholar, and he knew the Holy Greeks, the Holy Scriptures. So he knew, that means Paul is one of those people you could say knows more than half of the Holy Greeks by heart. Are we here? Paul knew the scriptures by heart. So what did he discover in his encounter with Jesus? That's a question to ask, right? In this encounter with Jesus, Jesus now says, I am Jesus. What did Paul find out? What did Paul see? What did Paul come to understand? Are we together? Now, for someone who knew about, or someone who knew the scriptures, does that mean he knew and he knew that they were expecting a Messiah? Remember in Luke 24, 21, when he speaks about how they thought he was the one that will redeem. How did they know there was somebody that was coming to redeem Israel? From the scriptures. They had read in scriptures. So Paul was among those people who read in scriptures that they were expecting a redeemer. So Paul was among those in scriptures that read, Paul was among those that read in scriptures that they were expecting a savior. So it means that when he picks that knowledge and puts it side by side with his revelation of Jesus in that encounter, we can easily find out what he saw. Are you here with me? Look at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Are you Philippians 2, 5? Look at Philippians 2, 5. Say God's word. Say God's word. Everybody say God's word is what I need for my spiritual growth. I will listen and pay attention to God's word, and I'm sure I will grow. Hallelujah. Look at some Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you which was also where? In Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God, but 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him, and what? Giving him a what? So God has given him a name which is above every name. That at the... Now, mind you, is there a word called mention? Did he say mention? Did he say at the mention of the name? No, he just says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under... Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And that every tongue should what? Homologio, that Jesus Christ is... So, it means Paul is writing the book of Philippians after his encounter in Acts 9. So, if he comes to tell you that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, it means that what he found out in that experience is that Jesus is the Lord. Are you here? Are you here? He comes and says that every tongue... Now, let me not tell you. Where is Paul teaching from? Do you think when he says that every time should confess, he's just thinking from thin air? He has to be teaching from scriptures. So hold your hands in Philippians to go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Are you there? Have you gone home? You are home. Isaiah 45, 21 to 25. Let's read that quickly. Tell ye and bring them here. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who are declared this from ancient time? Who are told it from that time? I've not heard the Lord, and there is no God else beside me. There is no God else beside me. Now, are there other gods? Are there other gods? Are there other gods like Jesus? Are there other gods? Are there other gods? You know there are other gods now. Are there other gods like Jesus? So, it tells you in Isaiah that you might know that there is no God else beside me, a just God, a what? So, it means that God is the only God that is a savior. Please, listen carefully. There is none beside me. Look unto me. Hold on. You know, sometimes, it's easy for us as Christocentric folks to want to, change all songs that we just feel like changing. You know the song that says, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. I had a Christocentric guy one few years ago say, can you sing that song? That's the meaning to the work of resurrection. What's the song? There is what? None holy. There is what? This idea, his point was trying to say that he too is as holy as the Lord. Okay, neither you are rock like our God. There is none. Now remember the teaching of the rock, right? Of Moses, right? When the Bible tells you that Moses said that God covered his eye so that he will see his what? His back. Are we together? Right? And we grew up talking about how, Moses was just having an encounter and God now said, you cannot see me face to face. What will I do? I will cover your eye and I'll walk in front of you. Close your eyes, oh. Even when I remove my hand, close your eyes, oh. Close your eyes, oh. Close your eyes. Is your eyes still closed? Is it still closed? Is it closed? Now look. Moses now saw the back of God. Now we did a study on that, right? Moses seeing the back of God is about Moses seeing ahead what God will do in the what? Resurrection. So he wasn't talking about the literal back. Moses did not see the literal back of God. Right? So he now says that what? I will hide you in the cliff of the rock. Only God can hide you in the cliff of rock. Are we together? So there is really none beside him. Are we together? Are we together? See, the holiness you have, he gave you. The holiness he has, nobody gave him. You see, there's a difference. So when we sing, holy are you, Lord, all creation, call you God, worthy is your name, we worship. The majesty you have, he gave you that you may become a royal priesthood. His own. Nobody gave him. Are we together? So Isaiah now tells you, look unto me, verse 22, Isaiah 45, and be ye what? Be ye what? Are you there? Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none like me. Look at verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in what? Righteousness, and shall not what? Return. That unto me every and every tongue, what did Paul call it? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall what? Confess. So where is Paul teaching Philippians 2 from? Isaiah 45. He says, surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, right? And all that are incensed against him shall be what? Is that Paul's word again? Romans. We saw that last week, right? In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So when Paul, he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Can we say, every tongue shall confess that there is none beside him? Can I say every tongue shall confess that he is the only one true God? Isaiah now tells you from where he's teaching from that he is God in the fact that he is a savior. So when Paul will have an encounter and he will hear Jesus say, I am Jesus, what is going through his mind? He is using the text of scriptures to sieve the statement, I am Jesus. And in the real sense, he is finding now that the Jesus which he persecuted is the God he had known from scriptures. Are you here? I'll say that one more time. So Paul will find out that the God he has known from scriptures without knowing, altogether. Because they expected, remember at the time, children of Israel, they had an imposter in power. Are we together? Yeah, it's like in Nigeria, for instance, that you have a president from a different state, right? And we are expecting one Yeshua to come and overthrow him. So, in the real sense, it made logical sense for them to say that, oh, when the scripture said a redeemer is coming, he is the redeemer. Redeemer to do what? Redeem the throne of Asovila. Are we together? But in the real sense, he was to be a redeemer that will do what? Redeem people from bondage. And his redemption plan is not for only Israel, but for the entire world. So, Paul will use scriptures and say, oh, I've known about a God. And he will say, when he hears, I am Jesus, he is hearing, I am the Savior of the world, that every tongue shall confess I am the God of the Old Testament. Can we say I am the God of the scriptures? I am the God of the writings of the prophets? I am the God of the writings of Moses? I am the God of the Old Testament books, for lack of better words. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we here? Look at Psalm 40, Isaiah 48, or 42, verse 8. Just go back a step, a few steps back. Look at Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in what? Are we there? I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a what? Covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Now look at verse, remember Galilee of Gentiles? Remember that teaching? It will all make sense soon. Now, to open the, to bring out of the prison, prisoners, and them that sit in darkness out of the, let's read verse 8 together, Isaiah 42, everybody together, 1, 2, 3, go. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither praises to what? So what now happens in verse 10? We will sing unto the Lord. Why are we singing a new song? Because there's a new Exodus. Are we together? Because there's a new Jerusalem. Because there's a new city. Praise God. So, Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name. That's where we got that song from. You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share your glory with anyone. You will never... You see, don't mix that statement with what he now says in John. He says, the glory which you're giving me, I give to them. When the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another. It's not the glory he gave you. Are we here? There's one he gave you. There's the one that no other person can share with him. He is God all by himself. God is God all by himself. See, what? That's why the emphasis of no one else beside him, no one else, was very emphatic in Isaiah 45. Nobody else can give forgiveness of sins and be assured that sins are forgiven. God is that God that does the work that supplies forgiveness of sins to man. And he backs up with an assurance by giving the Holy Ghost. So what is the proof that your sins are forgiven? You have the Holy Ghost. That's your proof. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. How many people can you give Spirit? All together. How many people can you give Spirit? Even when you now teach about how whoever sin you remit shall be remitted, whoever sin you retain shall be retained. Is it not in his name? He's by his authority. So God is a God that there is none like him. Say there's none like God. Say that again. Say there's none like God. Say there's none like God. Say there's no one like Jesus. So Paul finds out that the God that there is none like was who he was persecuting. By persecuting his church. Are we here? Are we here? Mind you, you see, Paul had heard the gospel from the lips of Stephen. If you check the book of Acts chapter 7, chapter 8, when he was consenting to them stoning. Go back to Acts. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts 8, 1. Look at Acts 7 quickly. Acts 7:55, we read into chapter 8. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up and steadfastly into heaven, rather, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's a vision, right? And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. And they what? They stopped their what? What does it mean to stop their ears? They stopped listening. They were not paying attention, right? So they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. So one accord is not only found in the gospel. Are we together? They can in one accord stone you to death. Look at verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and what? What? Acts chapter 7, yeah? Verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was what? So Saul, according to Saul, alongside others that were in one accord, they listened to Stephen's teaching in Acts 7. Are we together? You see, that is why there are some people you will preach to. You might not actually be physically there to see them get saved. You might not be there to ever see them work for the gospel. But just do your work by doing what? Letting out the word. That was Stephen at the point of death. At the point of death. Yet, he was loud about the gospel. You know, and just like his master Jesus, he says, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Now, he now says that, and they brought the clothes to the young man's feet, whose name was what? Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their what? Charge. And when he had said this, he what? He fell asleep. Believers fall asleep. Hallelujah. Did they kill him? Literally, they did though. But no, the believer is going to rise again. Hallelujah. The believer is going to rise again. The believer is going to rise again. Remember, Jesus is the Adam that fell into a deep sleep. Are we together? And if Adam could rise again, the believer will rise again. If Jesus could rise again, the believer will rise again. That's why they call Jesus the first fruits from the land of the dead, the first begotten. So Stephen fell asleep. So while natural eyes will see they stoned him to death, the biblical eyes will see he fell asleep. And we know there's a resurrection morning that Stephen will rise again. Hallelujah. See, don't let all the questions of what happened to your decayed body, that don't let that bother you. Think about it. God that created the universe and created man from nothing, what can he not do? Have you seen people's leg amputated grow out? You've seen it, right? You've not seen it. He wants to isolate himself. I've not seen it though, but you've heard of it. Yeah. Have you seen people's leg that were short grow out? Eh? You've seen it, right? So if leg that was short can grow out by the power of God, can't leg that did not exist, but that did not exist? I mean, definitely you can even see that from the creation of the first man and woman. So do not allow the narrative of when they bury you, you know, you will merge together with the concrete and together with the sand and you just become dust. So people came from... See, there's such a thing as the resurrection of the saints. Let that comfort you. You can never lose it. There is not one believer on earth who can lose the resurrection morning. Not one. It's impossible. Is totally impossible. Let me tell you something. There are people who are bowing their heads right now in the mosque. And when they die, they will rise again on the last day. Because all they did was they took the Holy Ghost to the mosque. That's what they did. They took the Holy Ghost to the mosque. The Holy Ghost can never leave a man. It's impossible. Outrightly impossible. Totally impossible. God is the one responsible for that. And when he does it to the end. When God does something, nobody can do it. So we have people who don't act like believers. But don't tell the Father the Holy Ghost is in them. Think about your own self. Because we don't know. You see, you cannot separate sin. You know this generation. See, what categorizes sin is the law of a country. Did you hear that? What categorizes sin is the law of a country. That is why it's a part of the world. If you come to Nigeria, if they see you with your same sex, male and male, how many years in prison? But it's another part of the world. They paint all their buses with their color. And if you say pin, but in the real sense, the truth remains that sin is sin. Anybody that lies, so look at this. If you lie that maybe as we were playing this keyboard, the thing fell. But you don't have money to buy another one. Who fell it? He fell. Did he fall? Wow, oh sorry. That is as equal as a man who is killing 500 people. The Bible tells you in Acts, when you see what Paul was doing, the prayer they prayed, when you see what Paul and Nicole were doing, it says, and Lord, behold their threatening. What was their prayer? And we pray that you grant us boldness and utterance, that by signs and wonders, they never prayed anybody persecuting the church. What are you living for? Come and die fire. Remember, the name of Jesus is about his reputation to save. You cannot kill in the name of Jesus. You cannot. You cannot kill. I command you to die in the name of Jesus. If the person dies, it's not God that killed. Come together. So their prayer was, behold, they are threatening, Lord. And we pray that you grant your servants boldness and utterance. That through signs and wonders, you know, the gospel is put in their head. Imagine they had prayed for Paul to die and Paul answered the prayer and God answered the prayer for Paul to die. You read Ephesians today. You read Colossians today. You read to thought of what you are calling new creation. New creation. God is too good. The new creation. You know, the concept of new creation was emphatically spelled out to the Christian community by Paul. And yet, the man who spells out what you call new creation today was the one who they stoned Stephen. They took his coat and threw at his foot. And he was consenting to their stoning. And the Bible says they did it in one accord. And yet, Paul gets an encounter. You see, Bible tells you that. If you now read Paul's recount of that encounter in Acts 23, 24, thereabout, he says, oh, King Agrippa, he says, I was not disobedient. So Paul still had to hear the message and obey the message, not hardening his heart. And Paul was used by God mightily. And yet, Paul was one who was consenting to. So, no matter what happens in your environment, no matter what the news tries to paint it to you as, there is not one man on earth who God doesn't want saved. Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. There are so many people who have not killed people, but Paul has consented to the killing. Yet, you see, I'm a student of Paul. You see, God's forgiveness of sin is so voracious that once a man hears it and believes it, he has been snatched from darkness. He's been taken from the hand of the devil. He's been delivered from sin and bondage. Are we together? Are we together? Say, my sins are forgiven. You know, it's ridiculous when people hear us say things like this and the first thing they think is that we're giving people license to sin. No, I don't walk in road safety. I don't walk in road safety. I don't have the permission to give you a license to sin. Who gave me the license first? Who gave me? Say, my sins are forgiven. Say, I have a spirit forever. So there are people you look down on today, but they have the Holy Ghost in them. That's like, what we need to do is just to make sure that we plant the seed. Stephen did not live to see the conversion of Paul. Stephen did not live to see what Paul's life turned into. He did not live to see it. He did not live to see it. But yet, for every Paul that you see, there's a Stephen he has killed. That's to make you understand that God will use imperfect men always. God doesn't look for perfect men. He doesn't look for perfect men. By the work he has done through his name, there is nothing that can snatch you from his hand. He is forever your savior. He's forever your father. He's forever your savior. He's forever your redeemer. He's always there for you. He's always there for you. Your strength, your shield, your buckler. The one that has called you into his holy nation. The one that has called you into his heavenly Jerusalem. The one that has given you forgiveness of sins. The one that has given you his Holy Ghost. So never allow condemnation in your heart. Never allow it. Never allow it. See, let me say it better. You might not always have it right. But God has done that right thing. And that right thing is sufficient enough to keep you right. Are we together? Are we together? It's an insult for you to say that what Jesus has done, you can undo it. No, no man can do it. No man can undo it. No man can do it. No man can undo it. No man can do it. No man can undo it. Only God in the flesh can do it. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? So Paul will have an encounter. Having heard scriptures, having read scriptures, having heard the teaching of Stephen, and he will hear, I am Jesus. What does that mean for the believer? Praise God. Praise God. So, Jesus is God the Savior. Is Jesus our Savior? So, the name of Jesus is Savior. The name of Jesus is Abraham. Are we here? The name of Jesus, that's Father of many nations. Name of Jesus is Moses. Name of Jesus is Joshua. Name of Jesus is what? Can we say the angel or the messenger of the covenant? We explained that, right? From Malachi 3 and Isaiah 40. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So when we say, right, the name of Jesus, what do we mean? When we say the name of Jesus, what do we mean? Now, can we say Jesus, the name of Jesus is also the God that brings to pass his promise? Is that his name? How did that become his name? Because that is his function. Are we together? Say, God is good. Can we say the name of Jesus is God the supplier of the requirement? So what sin and death required for sin and death to let go of you? God supplied. He didn't just send somebody. He came by himself to supply that need. Say, I have a God. And my God is good. Look at John 17. John 17, 5. So when we say the name of Jesus, what do we mean? What are we saying? Is it J-E-S-U-S? No, 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 it can't be. It's about a promise that is being fulfilled. It's about God's promise that he has kept. That's why the Bible now tells you all his what? Promises are yes and what? Where? In him, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Hallelujah. So the promise of God is not a new house. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? The promise of God is not a new, it's not a new car. It's not a new job. No, the promise of God is himself. Look at that. Imagine. You see what we do? We put in different categories and exalt material things over God himself as a promise. Let me ask you a question. Use your church mind and answer this question. Which one is a better inheritance? Car or God as himself? Or God himself? That's why I say use your church mind. Now use your ungodly mind and answer the question. Which one do you prefer? You know, I was giving an example that day with our sister here. Yeah, I want to lay hands on you. I want to give you $1 million. And my sister said, what? I should lay hands on her with the $1 million USD. Are we together? Are we together? But the truth is, you cannot compare. See, the matchless work of Jesus. Oh, what a matchless love displayed. Oh, what a sacrifice. I am grateful for. Grateful for your Jesus. We are on 7 keys. C sharp, D major, G. Only G, P. Are we together? So, the work of Jesus is so enormous yet sounds simple. That's why it's foolishness to the wisdom of men. How can you say God just came and he just died and he just gave himself to us as what now? What did we do to him? That's the point. What did we do to deserve it? Look at John 17. Are you in John 17, 5? He says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." It says, "And I have manifested thy what? I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have what? Kept thy word." Right? So, the promise from the foundation of the world is fulfilled where? In Jesus. Are we together? What is the promise about? The land. Is that the land? The land. So, God will be the land that will be the possession of the believers. So can we say the promise from the garden, promise from the beginning has been the Garden of Eden? Are we here? Which is the land? That was promised to who? Abraham. Promised to who? Isaac. Promised to who? To Jacob. Right? So God has said what? God has done what he said he will do. Is that true? Has God done what he said he will do? Is God doing what he said he will do? Yes. Are we here? He has done what he said he will do. He will do. Now remember, I've done that teaching before. When the Bible says Matthew 16, I'll build my church, right? And the gate of Hades shall not what? Prevail against it. Now, I'll build my church, yet even though you see it as a done reality now for the believer, it's an ongoing reality. That's why we go for evangelism. There are people who will not be in the church of Christ today, and they will be in the church tomorrow. That means the building of the church is what? So can we say God's name is that he will give a promise, he will do it. He will give a promise and he is doing it. So God is the God that will give a promise that he has done it and he is doing it. Are we here? Are we here? So the name of Jesus, what does it mean for us? Right? Can we say the new Exodus? New Exodus? Can we say our shepherd? Can we say our shepherd? Are we here? So Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus, right, is that God who has made a promise and he has fulfilled it and he is fulfilling it. So God is our possession. God is our inheritance. God is our heritage. That is what we've received in God's life. Look at that same John 17. Look at verse 20, 21. Are you in 21? It says, "That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee." Right? "That they also may be one in us and the world may believe that he has sent me." Now, is that a fulfillment of God's promise? Speak about the union between God and man, Christ and the church, right? Is that also the name of Jesus? The one that brings the union between God and man? Is that his function? Is that his name? Are we together? Look at the next verse. It now says, "And the glory which thou givest me, I have what? Giving them." We spoke about this earlier on. "That they may be one, even as we are one." Let's use 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. "I in them, thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou lovest me." Hallelujah. So God is in a constant, continuous, perpetual, everlasting union with man that has believed the gospel. Right? So when the Bible tells you, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee," it's an assurance. That's God's function. Is that God's name? God is the God that promises that he will never leave nor forsake. And God is the God that will never leave us nor forsake us. Say, God is good. Say, I'm in God's plan. Say, I'm in God's plan and I'm there forever. Now, what did Paul see? So we're trying to examine what did Paul see, right? Alongside with what did John do? Are we here? Are we here? So, now, we spoke about John. I spoke about how John took them to Jordan. Is that true? Right? And we said something very important. We said that, you know, from Isaiah 40, the Bible speaks about John as the one, as the voice that cried in the what? Wilderness. Prepare ye the way. So, John is the messenger of the messenger of the covenant. You know, I implore you all as a church, right, not to miss the church services of the local assembly. You know, so don't allow the world, you know, don't allow the world push you into what the world is saying. Church should be quick. Just let us come, let's just eat a little spicy. If that's the way you eat, you think you will look like this? You won't look like this now. The way you feed on God's word, if that's the way you eat physically, will you look like this? You will look like this now. When you can eat gari granite and milk, then put more at the side. The one you finish, step it down with beans. You know that's what you eat. That's what you eat. You're laughing at yourself. She's like, why are you smiling like this? Look at it. You know, because there's no camera in your house. But you get the point. That's the truth. You want to always eat balanced diets. Yeah? You know, there are some of you here who cannot. I'm even like that. And it's not even a bad thing because I'm like that. I grew up that way. How can I eat food without protein? I'm like that, and it's not to say anything. It's just the way I was brought up. We just felt meat. You know, how can you be serving rice, no meat? But also, if we did wedding, and but people came for a wedding, and we're serving rice for everybody. People say meat is coming. Until they come, brother, to do vote of thanks. If you say you're vegetarians, there's some people who cannot actually do it, actually, because they're vegetarians. But the truth is that you want to eat something balanced, and the truth is that you're not even eating those protein because you know it's balanced. You know yourself. If you take God's word, the way you, if you take God's, if you think you look healthy, right? Sometimes you even eat. You go to pharmacy, you make a copy, they will give you supplements, all for your body to look well. Yeah, you can't afford to take God's word in a very, you know, just anyone that I just feel, you know, pastor, just come and talk to my situation. You know, and let's just see what the week will unfold. You know, pastor, just, you know, pastor, church is not supposed to be that hard. Jesus has done it. He has left us his sacrifice. It's a finished work. We operate from victory. You know, God's desire and God's heart desire will be expressed through men on earth who will submit themselves to his will. The Bible says he wants all men to be saved, and he will only do that through you and I. Right? How will we preach if we don't know what to preach? That's the reason for the local church. You see, one of God's greatest gifts to mankind or a believer is the local church. That's why the choice of a local church is so important. Are we here? The choice of a local church is so important. Look at it. You know some of you, there's a stage in your life you've gotten to. Right, that whilst in your environment, if you feel sick, there might be 10 pharmacies around you, but you go to H-Medics. Right, you know yourself now. Yesterday I was around my house. I just stepped out from Jabia and went to Kado to pick something, and I wanted to buy a very important drug. You know, and I left Jabi to Wuse. I use of well. Where to? Fuel is my fuel. So, I'm sure yesterday she was asking for me. Where did this young man go? She's not just Kado here. I went to Wuse just to go and pick that drop from H-Medics. I entered my car and went back. I know the very interesting thing. Where I bought water from? I asked the lady, is there any pharmacy around there? She said, oh, there's one there. When you go like this, you go there. When you enter the streets, you go up there, you see a plaza there, you see what she did me too. When I was driving, I still saw a third one big plaza. Yet, I dodged it. I went to Wuse. That is how we treat God's word. That's how we ought to treat God's word. See, let it be that when you know what you're getting from local church, your distance doesn't determine. If you give birth, you know some of you, where you live, if you give birth to your child will not go to school in your environment. Is that very true? Where you are breathing, where you have your tent, you have a roof over your head, your child will not go to a school in your environment. What do? You make up your mind. You pack your child. You pack food. Even if it's for you to wake up by 5:30. Why? Because you say, if you take your child to a neighborhood school, he will speak neighborhood language for you. Abby? Except you're fortunate, maybe your ass is just a stone throw from a very good school. But you will. The point is this, you will leave your way to go, if it's hospital, you leave the immediate ones. So, when you hear a believer saying, you know, this is my church, why is your church? Because of proxy. Proxy to my house. Proxy is a stone throw. You're not serious. And your workplace, you are spending 30 minutes to 1 hour every day. But Sunday, Wednesday, finish, just come here, go home. How did I get here? So, John puts Jesus in River Jordan. Right? And in dipping Jesus in River Jordan, is that an example of association with sin and bondage? Then he, as the shepherd, John leads, or John brings him out. So what does he do? He puts Jesus in the water as an example to, or a picture of what Jesus will do to partake in flesh and blood, for instance, or sin and death, for instance, and come out. So what would the coming out be? Resurrection. So dipping into water, is that equal to Adam fell into a deep sleep? Beautiful, right? So Jesus fell into a deep sleep and John put him in a deep water and Adam rose again or came out from his sleep and Jesus was taken out of the water. Are we together? And what did John now? The Bible says John saw that the heaven opened, right? And he said, and he heard a voice, he said, this is my what? Beloved son, in what? In whom I am well pleased. Are we together? So, does Jesus, in Jesus coming out of the water, is that John showing Jesus as a shepherd into a new land? Into a new land. So Jesus will lead us out of bondage into a new land. Is that land his church? Is that land his temple? So the land is his church, and it is his temple. Hallelujah. So God is building his temple. What do we do with that? We associate ourselves with him, and we do what? We support in the building. How do we do that? By what? God's palace. By what? Making ourselves available. By what? How will God's church be built? When you and I, in partnership with him, get men. How do you do that? By going for what? Evangelism. You see, don't let anybody deceive you that your lifestyle is a message. Let's just say the lifestyle people see you with is a message. Yeah. You see, that's what the Bible does. It's going to the word and live the gospel. Right? It is preach the gospel. Because in the real sense, you will know how to live when the word is being preached properly. But your message is not any gospel. Leave matter for Matthias. Your message is your lifestyle is not any gospel. And that's what you say, a lot of people come out with all this narrative of, you know, people get saved by watching drama. Okay. Well and good. That's okay. But you watch drama and you are saved. The only thing that makes you saved in a drama, if at all you are saved genuinely, is if as the drama was being done, they were talking and preaching. But you don't come and do stage play here and come and just be doing I want to say, wow, that's Jesus come in the flesh. I've received of him. No. Are we together? So all those lifestyle, my actions, yes, they are very important. Yes, you can do Christian movie. That is your listing. But imagine Paul took that to heart. And I don't want to believe there are not people like some of us who would have met Paul and said, you know, Paul, this your message is very timely and godly for this generation. No, but we can communicate with this generation right now, you know, by visual. See, God's plan for man to be saved is that what? The gospel is preached, they hear it, harden not their heart, and they believe it. Are we together? All the other things can find its place. But I see it this way. instead of using 30 minutes to add grammar, why don't you just teach us Ephesians 1, 2, 3? You know you'll be better. You know you'll be better. If you are taught Ephesians 1, 2, 3 for 30 minutes and you are and the drama is active for 1 hour. So, the same thing with lifestyle. The message of the gospel is to be heralded. And that's why I spoke about the series we will do on this on the gospel. I would say the gospel is not just good news. Remember that? Because if you get back home now, somebody puts money in your account of $1 million USD. That's good news, but that's not the gospel. So the gospel is the good news of what? The victory that has been won. So when the Bible says preach the gospel, it will tell you keruso, that is herao. Say it, speak it, say it. Are we together? So we have spoken about how the land is the promise of God to man, which will be his church, the heavenly Jerusalem, or what Hebrews will tell you as the city of the living God. Let's look at one more example in scriptures today. I know that one example will take us a while. So look at Isaiah 7. Some of you would have said, why is Pastor close earlier today? It's just to whet your appetite. Isaiah 7, 14. Are you there? Where did I say you should go to? Lovely. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Look how it says. Therefore, the Lord himself shall what? Shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin. So, what is... Who is the virgin? Who is the virgin now? Mary. Who is Mary in the redemption plan of God? Mother of Jesus. What is she? That's the first question that you're looking for. What is Mary in the plan of God's redemptive plan? Or in God's redemptive plan? Mary is a sign. Mary is the virgin that shall be conceived now. Are we here? Listen to me, everyone. So Mary is the sign and has nothing to do. So if you believe in Mary, what do you get? Mary's the reward. Are we together? So those of us who pray, Holy Mary that gave birth again. Wait, did Jesus not have other siblings? How did she born? Miracle again? No, now Joseph slept with her now. So is Mary still holy? Is Mary still, answer the question now. Is Mary still holy? She's still holy. So Mary is holy in the fact that you see her in the redemptive plan, such that she believed the gospel after the resurrection. I want to get that. You check Acts chapter 1. You see Mary found amongst the disciples praying in the upper room in Acts 1 and Acts 2. I would get, so Mary was there in believers' meeting. Are we together? So when all those holy Mary, mother of Jesus, pray for us. And then you see, there is nothing she's doing. You are just mentioning her name, wasting saliva. Nothing changed. I know a lot of millions of people live in that reality. I hope you know. Millions of people live in that reality. See, we need to get to a stage as a church, right? When we start saying plain what needs to be said plain. When God's word is taught, you can distinguish between false doctrine and real doctrine. Because a lot of us have grown up learning false doctrine, we can easily merge it with sound doctrine we are learning now. You know, it's not difficult. So one of the most hardest things for you as a believer right now is to unlearn what you've learned. It is more difficult than learning. I can assure you, if you bring someone who just got exposed to God's word last year, and at that time the person got exposed to God's word, and you bring a child who has never been to Sunday school, who has just been a child and just started learning to learn and can just shall communicate, the growth of that child will almost be way faster than the growth of one who has been 30 years in the fold. That's why this thing is not about number. The same Paul who you are saying Pauline revelation. Every time we are praying here, Paul in Ephesians, Colossians, Paul. That same Paul, he was still killing people when Peter was called Godfather. Yes, now Jesus looked at Peter and said, feed my sheep, feed my flock. Where was Paul? And you know, Peter got into trouble. Almost got into trouble. Paul and Peter did something terrible. Galatians 2 now shows you that Paul now scolded Peter. I've explained that in church before, right? Paul that came, knew, Peter did not say you. Before you were born. No, let me even leave you. Your father. When was he born again? He didn't say before your father's father was born. I've been heralding. I've been Caruso Alengelion. I've been heralding the good news. Who are you to come and correct me? Are we together? That is why God's word is for those who will act like children to receive it. If you are adamant, hey, what did he do? What did he do? Eh? Do you know when I've been talking Jesus? When I was saying Jesus, your father did not know your mother before they thought of you existed. All that one is what? Grammar. Always expect it. See, anywhere you find yourself in this life, no matter how young the person is, as long as the person is teaching God's word, listen. Listen. Because God has chosen to use the foolishness of this world to convey his wisdom to man. That's important to somebody to note. All together. So look at Isaiah 7:14. And it says, and it shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a what? A son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold your hands in Isaiah 7 and go to Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be what? Called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord be it upon me according to thy word. And the angel departed. So is that also so now at this point, was Mary pregnant? Look at verse 30. And the angel said unto Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with what? 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Joshua. Is that it? Yeshua. Are we there? And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no other. Is that a function of God? Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So at the point, was Mary pregnant? So it was a sign. So it means that, so the angel, where do you think the angel was giving that message from? Oh, let me say it this way. Before the angel gave the message, it was already where? In the scriptures. So, now, you know I said something a few weeks ago, which I have not paid attention to, which I will not pay attention to in this season. Right? Isaiah had a son. History shows, rather, that, let me say it better. History shows that Isaiah had a son whose name was what? Emmanuel. Have I said that before? He had a son whose name was Emmanuel. Now, what's the point? People bore the names that Jesus will bear. Let me also say what I've said before. I said something. I said, at the time of Jesus' life on earth, not only him was bearing that name, Jesus. Have I said that before? So there were other people bearing the name, and to today, there are other people who are bearing the name what? Jesus. So it means that the name of Jesus is not just about the mention of the name, but it's about the function that is associated with the name. Such that when you take away the function of the name from the name, you are calling the name of the Lord in vain. Yeah, you following, right? Beautiful. So, Isaiah will talk about how, you know, his name shall be called Emmanuel. And the meaning of Emmanuel is what? God with us. Is that a function? So, Isaiah's son, Emmanuel, will bear the name that speaks about the function of God. So, who will be the real Emmanuel? So Isaiah's son will bear Emmanuel as a prophetic name, while Jesus will bear Emmanuel as the what? Fulfillment, the accomplishment of the prophetic name. Praise God. Praise God. So it means that Jesus did not bear any name that no one has born before, but he bears a name that no one has ever accomplished. That's important to note. Jesus didn't bear a name no one had ever born before, ever gotten before. We just looked at Abraham, we looked at Joshua, we looked at Moses, and all of that. So he bore a name no man had ever gotten before, but he bears a name that no one has ever accomplished or fulfilled. Now look at Luke 23 when you're done with that. Luke 23:32. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a name. We have a name. Name is above every other. Glory to God. So I just said something. I said Jesus was not the first to bear the name, or other people bore the names that Jesus bore, but no other person accomplished what Jesus accomplished. Let's look at the death a little of Jesus. Look at, are you in Luke 23? Luke 23 verse 32. And there were also two others, male factors, led with him to be put to death. Hold on. And when they were come to the place, which is called where? Calvary. There they crucified him, and they... Are we in church? Can we read together, please? 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 33, 1, 2, 3, go. And when... they come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the male factors, one on the right hand, left hand. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they parted his raiment and what? Beautiful. Now, so Calvary, so the word there, Calvary, is the word that just means the place of what? Place of what? Skulls. So usually, that is when, now, you know, history actually shows that it was not only Jesus and those two thieves that were there, because they crucified people in their numbers. All together. Now, Jesus was on the cross, and one of the thieves, right, the thief on the right hand, right? Right. He said what? Remember me in thy kingdom. Right? I hope you know the Bible did not mention if it was right or left hand. I hope you know. Yeah, so it wasn't the thief on the right that said, remember, you know. So right is the place that you always, no. Don't attach any meaning there. Right? Just the same way with Saul. Bible did not mention that Saul's name was changed. Saul is Saul in Hebrew and Paul in what? In the Greek. So joy is English name of Yoruba name, Ayo. What is the Igbo name of joy? Ironry. Eh? You see, that's why the Church of God needs to be void of languages. Ironry. You shall know what you said. Joy is Ayo. Ayo is joy. So it's like a man. who encountered Jesus, for instance, and as soon as he encounters Jesus, his name was joy before, but as soon as he left the encounter, God changed his name to Iron. No, it's just different dialect. So, the Bible did not tell you about the number of the thief on the right hand, left hand. I hope you also know how many wise men visited Jesus. 3. Well done. The Bible does not tell you how many wise men visited Jesus. So, the Bible doesn't tell you. The Bible just tells you men from the east. The reason why we say 3 wise men is because they bought 3 gifts. They were more than 3. Oh. They were one per head. They were more than 3. Are we together? Right, beautiful. So, you see, like play now. These are very fundamental Christian knowledge that a lot of people don't know. Very, very fundamental Christian knowledge. I'm going to say you should not come to church regularly. Is that with your soul? So, Calvary is a place called the place of the skull. They were crucified. They crucified him and 2 other criminals. Look at where I'm heading to, 34. Then Jesus said, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Is that the same thing Stephen did? We saw that today, right? Acts 7, right? Acts 7, 55 downwards, right? And they parted his raiment and cast them out. 35 says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him what? If he be the chosen of what? Chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offered him what? Sour wine, vinegar. Check your Bibles, let's read verse 37. And saying, if thou be the what? King of the Jews, save thyself. Can you imagine what they were saying to the man who came to the world to save the world? He now says, save thyself now. And a subscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. So they wrote it in Greek, in what? Latin, and in what? Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the male factors, can you see the Bible says one of the? Is that your Bible? Did he say the one on the right hand or left hand? One of the male factors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Do you understand? That's a very tempting question. Because Jesus who came to save the world, oh yeah, save yourself and please add me. Say wisdom. Look at it. Others will say save thyself because they were not in trouble. He will not just say save thyself. He too wants to be saved. Look at the next verse. He now says, but the other, did he say the one on the right? Did he say the one on the right? The other answering, he rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our words. That one admitted he's a criminal. And said, this is the reward for the deeds we have done. But this man had done nothing. Look at verse 42. You know, says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, very, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in where? Now, I hope you know today what he's talking about that day. I hope you know that. Let's think about it this way now. How many days did Jesus was in the grave for? So if he died on Friday, like we say, he died on Friday, and if he said today you'll be in paradise, did he go to paradise on Friday? Oh, you just got it. There is still Saturday, there is still Sunday. So which of the days did he mean? It means that today we will not speak about a day of the week, but a dispensation. And that dispensation will be about his kingdom. Look at the word kingdom. The word kingdom is the word basilia, where you have the word basil. Right? Basilia is the name of, is that word called kingdom. Now, and is a word that is used, kingdom is a word used for life, not death. Basilia is a word, so remember me in thy kingdom when thou comest into thy kingdom. This is something you should note very importantly. So, one of them says, save us. The other one says, remember us in your kingdom. Now, the one that says save us, or save yourself, or the other one that said, remember me in your kingdom, and Jesus, what did they want to do to three of them that was common? They wanted to kill them. So, listen to me carefully. It means that if one will say, remember me in thy kingdom, it means that he knew that Jesus will rise from the dead. Are you here? Are you here? We all are about to be killed. Somebody saying, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. Yeah, so they were all about to be killed. And one says, remember me in your kingdom, in your basilia. Basilia is used for life, not death. So he knew that there is a life that Jesus will have in the resurrection. So when Jesus now says, today you will be, it will now be a dispensation of the resurrection that comes with the kingdom he spoke about. Was he a criminal? Was he a criminal? Did he believe in the resurrection? He says, remember me in thy kingdom. Remember me in thy kingdom. So he knew that Jesus will rise from the dead. He knew that Jesus will resurrect. Hallelujah. So let's go to Luke 24. So you're in Luke 23 right now. So it means that Jesus in the resurrection began to teach about things regarding himself. Now, mind you, you know, another narrative of the scripture shows us that Jesus' disciples, when they were killing him, what happened to them? Bible scholars. Was there any disciple that was with Jesus? What did they do? How many of them was with Jesus? One was with Jesus. What happened to the rest of them? They flee, run. The scripture says, flee from every appearance. Flee from every appearance. They ran away. So how do you suppose we are able to read what the thieves said? Jesus had to have said it. Are you here? Jesus had to have said it. So Jesus will teach in the resurrection the two things that the two thieves said. Now, remember, there were more thieves there, but he will pick only two to highlight two types of people in the world. Those that will be saved and brought into God's kingdom, and those who will perish. That's all. You know, I've said it before. There is no middle ground. No matter how good your charity is, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you will die and perish in the grave. And no matter how bad your charity is, if you believe in the resurrection, though in the grave, you will rise again on the last day. Those are the only two people that exist on the earth. There's no middle ground. You either believe or you don't believe. You either have the heart that is hardened, or a heart that you submitted to God's will. So Jesus in the resurrection began to teach, and he would tell them, and you see, while they were doing this, this is what happened. There were two thieves, figurative, not only two thieves. One of them says this, the other one says this. He didn't tell you left or right thief. He just tells you. One says this, one says this. One says, remember me in your basalia, that is in your kingdom. You cannot be in a kingdom without life. So he knew that Jesus would rise again. He knew that there is something called the resurrection life. He knew there is something called the resurrection from the dead. And you could tell, because he said, this guy has not done anything. We deserve our reward. Is that what he said? He says, we deserve our reward. But this guy, he hasn't done nothing. He has done nothing. But he says what? Remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today, in this resurrection, or in the resurrection that I will be, or in the life that I will have, right? Or in that kingdom I will come into after the resurrection. And we're together. You will be with me in paradise. So, you will be with me in paradise. Is that you will be with me in my kingdom? Altogether, you will be with me in my kingdom. So look at Luke 24, the next chapter. Luke 24:24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, are we here? He calls them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. What did they say? In summary, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his... Check your Bibles, 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 check your Bibles. Don't look at me. Check your Bibles, check your Bibles, check your Bibles, check your Bibles. Don't look at me. Right? Don't look at me. I'm not a screen. I'm not a movie. When you come to church, check your Bible. Yeah, so ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his... Why do you suppose Jesus is teaching in third person? He said his glory. But that his glory is about himself. Altogether. So, Jesus will teach in third person to bring to their full consciousness the identity of the person that the scriptures taught about. So, scriptures will say, enter into his glory. So, that's why he now tells the next verse. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning, can we say concerning his glory? Did you get that? Right? So, his glory is the highlight, hallelujah, of the what? Redemption plan. So, he began to explain himself from scriptures, things concerning himself. Okay, scripture says I will suffer. Right? And scripture says I will rise again. That is why what you need to believe to be saved is the what? Resurrection, not the death. Are you here? Are you here? The death is not what made you saved. It is the resurrection. By talking about the resurrection, you've covered the conversation of the death, because there's no resurrection without the death. What do you resurrect from? The death. So by talking about his resurrection, by his spirit I rose from the ashes of the defeat, the resurrected king has resurrected me, in his name I come alive. To declare his victory. Is that preach the gospel? Are we together? So, Bible tells you that he takes them to Moses and explains to them. So, Moses will say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And he will say, okay, Moses is talking about me. So Moses' heaven and earth is speaking about the union between God and man, which John 17 explains. Just as I am with you, the Father, so you've made them to be with me. Moses will say, and God created heavens and earth, and the earth was dark form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over and over the face of the deep. And he says, okay, that is the message of the gospel being presented to men. I say, and God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. And God called, kara, remember, to give function. So God called the light what? Day. And the darkness he called what? Night. And God was what does it mean of separate? Distinguish. We explained that. To set apart, to differentiate. You're following. Right. So God differentiates between what? Light and darkness. Is that based on morning sun and evening sun? No. It's based on function. So men will be seen as day and what? Like, that's why you now see today. So in God's day, that will speak about God's dispensation, God's resurrection, season, and all of that. Are we together? So he says, concerning me, enter into his glory, beginning at Moses. Explain to them all things Christ himself, verse 27. And he now says in verse 28, and they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But he constrained himself, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is fast spent. This day is the resurrection day. This day is the resurrection day. Is it? This is normal morning and evening. And he went and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and gave to them. Listen to me, everybody. He took bread. Are we together? He broke it, and gave it to them. What now happens in verse 31? Their eyes were what? Opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Are we together? Now, what did he do with bread and wine? He broke it. Right? You know, we're not going to this narrative today. But Jesus takes bread and he takes wine. Are we together? He takes bread, he takes wine. What does he do with it? He uses it as a teaching aid to what his body and his blood will do. Are we together? So when he meets them and says, this is my body, take it. Dear saints, there was no butcher. Is it butcher they call them? Butcher. Sorry. There is no butcher. Right, that cut his flesh and put inside a plate and fried it. When he says, this is my blood, there was no doctor that took his syringe, that took out his blood and poured in the cup for him to drink. Are we together? So it means that we should pay attention to his words. That's why he says, this is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. So what was Jesus doing on the table? So what, after this ceremony, right, you need to lay your hands on that series if you don't understand this. So when he takes the bread and takes the wine and he says, do this in remembrance of me. He's not saying be doing table and white clothes and be sharing and let your usher come and carry tray and be going to. No, that's not what he's teaching at all. How can Jesus, who did not start the practice of bread and wine, be asking you to use bread and wine to remember him? What happened to the word? I put together. So when he says do this in remembrance, yeah, he's just trying to say that the same way I give myself sacrificially, right, take that into mind and give yourself sacrificially to other men. Yeah, not, I know, so what, that's why I said, you want to understand that, go and listen to that series, you know, as often as you do it, you know, just get your hands on that series. So in the real sense, he takes bread, and he broke it. Now, did Jesus literally eat the bread with them? Oh, let me ask it this way. After resurrection, did Jesus eat physically? Did he eat physically? Did he? Are you sure? Jesus ate physically after resurrection. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus ate physically. Right? Look at verse 44. Yeah, 42, 44. Look at verse 42. Right? He says, and they gave him a piece of what? Broiled fish. Vegetarian. And of what? Honeycomb. And he took it and what? So Jesus resurrected from the dead, right? And he ate physically to show you that. So that's why when we sing that song, God in man, who died for man, and he rose as a man, flesh and blood, flesh and spirit, spirit and soul, they don't eat bread, they don't eat fish. Fish is for physical body. Amen? So he rose as a man, so we give thanks to God, a man who died for man. Hallelujah. We have a God who died, who came in the flesh as a man. He died as a man, resurrected as a man, and gave us his victory. God is good. Hallelujah. So he ate with them. So he now goes to verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled altogether, which were written in the law of Moses, writings of Moses, in the what? Prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Can we say concerning his glory? Can we say concerning his name? Right? So which are written about me, or written in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning his name. Then he opened ye their understanding, that they might what? Understand scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is what? Written. And thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the... And verse 47, 1, 2, 3, go. And that repentance, remission of sin, should be preached in his name amongst all nations. Where? Beginning at what? Jerusalem. So, repentance, remission of sin, should be preached in his name. Should be preached according to his name, in his name, by his name, amongst all nations. Beginning at where? Jerusalem. Where is it explaining from? The writings of the prophets and Moses and Psalms, by what you call the scriptures. So it means that to have a broad understanding of the name of Jesus, you need to first understand the name of Jesus from the scriptures of the prophets and of Moses, which is why we're doing this series. Are we together? So Jesus did not just come from thin air and a magical name just appeared and an angel just gave. Say, Mary, give him that name. For no other person will bear the name. But in the real sense, no other person will bear the name as a fulfillment, but they will bear the name as what? Prophecies. So Joshua will bear Jesus as what? A prophecy. While Jesus will bear Jesus as what? The accomplishment, the fulfillment. All together. So it means that Jesus, knowing that that name was not unique to him on the lips of people, it means that when he says in my name, you should pay attention to what he means by in my name and not just think about the mention of the name J-E-S-U-S. So the name of Jesus is not just, or is not about the J-E-S-U-S. You know, and that's why you hear me say things like this. You know, people say, you know, the name of Jesus is you know, it's five letter words and five is the number of grace. Are we together? Five is the number of grace. Jesus is grace. Yeah, so David took five stones, each of them representing Jesus. Yeah, then he stoned Goliath. Remember, it was only the first stone that David used. So all you need in your life is what? J. Are we together? In the name of J. Imagine if that's how our Christian faith is about. Right? You know, but it's interesting to know, thief is five letters. Abi? Devil. Five letters. Satan. Amebo. It's still five letters. Are we together? We will keep listing names. We will not leave here today. Five. So five is not too... So imagine if you attach importance with five, you know, it doesn't really... It not join. Are we together? So the name of Jesus is about the function that he supplies in the resurrection. So as I will say, and a virgin shall be with a child, shall conceive, and she shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, for God will be in us. Right? So for God with us, the God that is with us, the God that is in us, the God that we receive upon the resurrection. So when you believe the name of Jesus, what do you receive? God himself as inheritance in the land he promised. Praise Jesus! Praise Jesus! Praise Jesus! So, when he says, I'll close here. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Are you here? Matthew 28, verse 18. So he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore and what? The word their power in verse 18 is the word authority. He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Can we say in the name of the Son? Are we here? So baptizing them in the name of the Father. You know, in the entire Bible, that's the only portion of scriptures where you see name of Father. Name of Father. Name of what? Son. Name of Holy Spirit. That one is angel. Are we together? That's how we did. We are out on World Cup. No, sorry. This is a sign. It's a pointer to the reality. All this things. Yeah. So in the real sense, name of Father, name of Son, name of Holy Ghost, if you like. Mwah. In fact, things are happening, though. Plenty of things are happening. Hallelujah. So the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost is the name of His Son. Which is what? About the function of His Son. So name of the Father is the name of the Son. The name of the Son is the name of the Son. The name of the Holy Ghost is the name of the Son. Look at John 30, John 20, 30. We'll continue from here on Wednesday, but look at John. Let's close in John 20, verse 31. Look at 30. And many other signs, rather, truly did Jesus did in the presence, or truly Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might what? That ye might what? Believe that Jesus is the Christos, that is Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might what? Have life through his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we might believe, and in believing, we receive life through his name. So what does his name really supply? Life. Are we together? So it means that his name, or those names that the prophets had borne in the Old Testament books, they had functional roles. We started talking about Noah in this series. What does Noah mean? What does Noah mean? Comfort? Rest? Who is the real Noah? Jesus. He's the one that supplies rest. Right? What does Abraham mean? Father of nations, right? Who is the real Abraham? Jesus in the resurrection. Are we together? So their names will speak about a promise, like I said earlier on, but Jesus will bear the name Jesus as the fulfiller or the fulfillment of the promise. So for instance, while Joshua will bear Yeshua as a promise, Jesus will bear what? Yeshua as the what? Fulfillment, not the promise. So it means that we must have a grasp or a proper understanding of what the name of Jesus from the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Are we here? The name of Jesus is about that work he has done, his functional role, the supply of God's redemptive plan, the supply of God's salvation plan to mankind, and once a man believes. So that's why Matthew will tell you, baptizing them, hello, baptizing them in the name of the God the Father, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. So it means that if it is about the name of his Son, and we get associated with that name by believing, it means the baptizing is not about water. You get that? Right? So baptizing them in the name of the Father, the word they're baptizing will just mean to associate, to be partakers of. That's why Paul will now tell you in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, our fathers were baptized into who? Moses. So baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son is not take people inside water, dip them, bring them out. So I hope this series makes you understand why John did baptism. You know, because it's easy for a believer. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of believers, and they say, but even Jesus was baptized, and even Jesus baptized. You know, no portion of the Bible tells you Jesus baptized. John 4. Look at John 4. While we close. John 4. Are you in John 4? Look at John 4:1. When therefore The Lord knew how the Pharisees had what? Are we here? John 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had what? Heard that Jesus what? Made and baptized more disciples than John. Is that your Bible? So this is where a lot of people run to. Jesus, even John that you started baptizing, Jesus even did more than him. Next verse says you what? Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So what's that concern about? We did the series called Metonymy. Yeah? So he was not absent, but they associated their baptism as a whole to Jesus because he was their leader. So when he says baptizing them, he's not saying go and dip people into water, but really supply the message of the victory of his name. And when a man believes it, he is baptized into his name. That's why Mark now tells you, he that is baptized is he that is what? Saved. Mark 16. Bow your heads and talk in tongues for a while this morning as we've come to an end to this teaching today. Just bow your heads and talk in tongues.